Well, I don't know if you know the story of the bishop who was driving along with his wife, and they ran out of petrol. And his wife very happily remembered that there was a garage just half a mile back. And so he root around the back of his car to find out a container to see what he could bring the petrol back in. Couldn't find anything, which was obvious, but then came across their grandson's potty. And decided to go back to the garage, walking, and to get the petrol. He came back and started filling up his car with the petrol. Well, just passing at that time was a new church leader from the local parish he was in, and saw the bishop pouring the contents of the potty into the car and thought, wonderful, we've got such a bishop of wonderful faith. I will never leave the Church of England. And I guess that's most people's idea of what faith is. Great feats, impossible things that we can do if we have great faith. And of course that can be part of it. But as we come and look at this story, it gives us a great insight into faith and doubt as well. Because the situation, if you've been coming to the series so far, is that Jesus has just done the miracle of feeding the 5,000. In fact, there's more than 5,000, just 5,000 men. And there were children and women on top of that figure. And then Jesus goes away to pray quietly by himself in a remote area. And the disciples are dismissed by Jesus and begin to row across the Sea of Galilee. And then we come to verse 25 of chapter 14 of Matthew. Just like to look at that. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. 3 points about doubt and about faith. And the first is this: doubt arises out of faith. There's a lot of faith here. In a moment, we're going to see Peter doubting, but there's a lot of faith there. Look at verse 28 and 29 again. "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." "Come." Then Peter gets out of the boat. That's courageous faith. There's something about Jesus which draws Peter to get out of a boat on a stormy sea and walk towards Jesus. That's remarkable. And it's so important that we see the doubt that comes later arises out of that step of faith. Because many people assume that doubt is the opposite of faith. It's not. Unbelief is the opposite of faith. No, we all live by faith. And with faith comes doubt. In many areas of our lives, I mean, take your job interview to get the job that you've got at the moment. I expect you may have had a day of interviews, maybe 2 days. And based on what you do know about the company, or did know, you took the job. But there are many things you didn't know. Many things that you discovered later about it. But of course, what you did was you trusted for what you did know. And then trusted for what you didn't know. Let's take falling in love. When you get to know somebody, or when you eventually get married, on the day of your marriage, there's still an awful lot to do to get to know the person you're going to marry. But trusting for what you do know, you'll trust for what you don't know. And it's the same with becoming a Christian. The Bible does not answer every question we could ask. But there's enough to know about trusting Jesus, his teaching, his compassion, his actions, what he did for us on the cross. The Bible doesn't answer every question, but there's enough to trust him. I've been in Bible studies where we've had people who wouldn't yet call themselves Christians. And some people want to every question answered. But the Bible doesn't answer every question. What Jesus says is, you know enough to make a decision about me. And so if you are sitting there and you're not yet a Christian, don't wait for every question to be answered. Because the Bible doesn't answer every question. It gives you enough to know about who Jesus is and why he came. You see, in fact, our English word doubt comes from a Latin word, dubitare, which means literally two minds. But it's faith in two minds. So here we see Peter launching out in faith. Yes, doubt comes in a moment, but it's based on great faith. So doubt arises out of faith, courageous step of faith. But then secondly, circumstances do cause doubt. Look at verse 30. When he saw the wind, that's Peter, when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Maybe it's not surprising that Peter began to get into two minds about what he was doing. I mean, he suddenly remembers his physics lessons from school. Yes, he's focused on Jesus, but then suddenly the wind, the waves, the noise, suddenly the reality of what he's doing begins to overwhelm his faith. And that's where doubt comes in. You're focused on the thing you're trusting, but then all the things you don't know about begin to press in and crowd in on what you're trusting. And you can see the way Peter must have been thinking. You know, I can do it because Jesus is there. I'm going towards him. I don't know how, but it's to do with Jesus being in charge of everything. But then, goodness, look at the wind and the waves, and his eyes go from Jesus onto all that's happening round about. Jesus is Lord, but I don't understand his lordship in this situation with the wind and the waves. My godmother became a Christian at 70 years old. And it was an amazing turnaround because she was very cynical beforehand. We had many discussions. And so it was a wonderful change when she became a Christian at 70 years old. But after about 3 years, she became very seriously ill. And she was in hospital for many months. Suddenly, she began to doubt. And what she was doubting was, how is the lordship of Jesus working itself out in my present situation? And those discussions we had, she thought, am I losing my faith? I said, no. No, you're still trusting him, but you don't understand at the moment how his lordship's working out in this desperately difficult situation you're in. All the errors of her unknowns began to throw themselves up. And so, of course, she began to wonder, what's the Lord doing through this? Is he close to me? What's happening? So you see, if we go through difficult personal circumstances, maybe at work, maybe we lose our jobs, maybe through bereavement, depression, illness, our focus can be shifted from what we do know onto what we don't know. And that is where doubt comes in. Faith hasn't gone, but what we don't know looms large. It happened again for Peter later. Do you remember Peter doubted when he doubted Jesus and he denied him? His fear overwhelmed him. What's going to happen? And so, of course, he denied Jesus at that time. Circumstances bring doubt. So doubt arises out of faith, and circumstances cause doubt. But thirdly, faith with our doubts lead us to Jesus. Look at verse 30. But Peter, when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Well, I guess when you're feeling overwhelmed by things, I think verse 30 is not a bad prayer, really. "Lord, save me." He drove him out of desperation to Jesus. "Lord, save me." And so Jesus reaches out and brings him up because otherwise he's going to sink. But you can see what's happened there. His focus has been divided. Look at verse 30 again. When he saw the wind, instead of looking towards Jesus and going towards him, he saw the wind. And so Jesus literally says, "You of little faith, why are you divided in two? Why are you divided in two?" And this is where strong faith comes in. It's being single-minded. That's what strong faith is. It's not like having a lot of faith. It's being single-minded. Do you remember when Jesus said, all you need is the size of a mustard seed? It's all you need. It's not the amount. It's the single-mindedness of it. Doubt is when it's split into two. That's what strong faith is. And so when we're faced with circumstances in our lives which are overwhelming, the question we ask is, how is the lordship of Jesus working itself out in this situation. Because that is what they come to recognize in this passage. Look, do you read on? Look at verse 32. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." They came to see who Jesus is. They came to see him as Lord over even that situation they were in. Lord of all. But you know, doubt comes when sometimes we're in a situation and we can't work it out. How is his lordship working itself out in this situation? This little series has been called From Rejection to Recognition. That's the title of the series. Recognition of who Jesus is. But notice it doesn't happen on a nice sunny day with everything fabulous and easy. It's through this storm, it's through the terror of Peter thinking he's going to sink and seeing what happens, and out of that they see who Jesus is, the lordship of Jesus at work. So, faith, recognizing who Jesus is, being single-minded on the lordship of Jesus in the circumstances that we face. So to get strong in faith, that's what we do, is not be split in two, but to focus on him, a single-minded focus on Jesus. And Peter learnt well. Peter learnt very well. I mean, his letters are dripped with and dripped all the way through with suffering and staying focused on Jesus. Staying on focused on Jesus even when suffering the lordship of Jesus. What are you facing in your life at the moment? What circumstances are you facing? Do you find that your focus on Jesus is split in two? Come back to focus on him. The circumstances, he is Lord, but they mustn't overwhelm us. I love the way the writer of the Hebrews tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus. And with this, in chapter 12 of Hebrews, he says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." That is where doubt can come in, where we lose heart and grow weary. The way not to grow weary and lose heart is to come back and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Whatever you're facing, come back and focus on him, who is Lord of all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bring you every area of our lives as they are now. We thank you for your lordship, that you are Lord of all. And yet we confess there are moments and places in our lives where we find it difficult to recognize you as Lord. Help us to come back and focus on you as our Lord. And we ask this in your name. Amen.